Greetings, hello, and welcome to the Beyond Earth Show. I'm your host, Ray Trujillo, and thank you for all of you for joining me today on this July 11th, 2026 transmission. And there's quite a lot that's going on in the ethers as usual. And before I get into some of the collective rebirths and transformations that are ongoing at present, I did want to dedicate this show to my beautiful goddaughter. Happy birthday, Luna, and also to Princess Patina. And so, also, I wanted to take a quick moment to mention a beautiful way that all of us can find a way to contribute to the amazing BBS Radio and BBS TV. BBS Radio is launching. They've launched a fundraiser on GoFundMe, and the GoFundMe link I'll provide, but it is for the increase of broadcasting and elevating the show and the performance and expansiveness of the website, and really reaching out to a broader audience and so much more. So there's a lot of hard work, blood, sweat, and tears that goes in to BBS Radio and BBS TV and the website and everything that is concordant with that. So this is one way that we can all perhaps contribute in our appreciation to the value of what BBS Radio, BBS TV provides us and gives to all of us. And if also too, here's the, I'll just read it out loud. It's www.gofundme.com/f/preserve-independent-voices-at-bbs-radio-tv. Once again, it's www.gofundme.com/f/preserve-independent-voices-at-bbs-radio-tv. And so I will speak more about that in the near future, of course, and have Doug and Don on my show to discuss, because they will be able to discuss that better than I can at this time. And so thank you, all of you, for your interest and for making BBS Radio and BBS TV and the website a increasingly profound, magnanimous success going into the near future. So anyhow, I hope all of you have had a lovely summer so far. And if some of you are wondering about some potential additional shifts in the collective, as I was mentioning in the collective rebirth, there's always something that's happening in the planetary, but right now we're going through a Neptune in retrograde. And essentially, what that consists of is that we can go through some confusion, we can go through the normal, the chaos of the third dimension, and sometimes we can get a little diluted with the illusions, and sometimes the illusions will fade and we'll have clarity and the proverbial rose-colored glasses, if you will. So, if there's been a focus on something and maybe an idealization of ourself or of a goal, of a dream deferred, relationships, love, family, career, of course, we can take this moment to look within and see how we want to reassess our goals. And also, too, in the egoistic place of all of us, in the egoism, there's a healthy ego, and then there's the shadow ego, the unhealthy ego. And so I don't mean that in any negative or condescending way, but it's important to discuss that in the ego mind, if we go Jungian, we go there and we look in the shadow and the collective and what's made us, what are the lines of causation, what's contributed to who we are, how we behave, how we respond, how we react in this world. And if we look at our blind spots with an open self-awareness, our blind spots, with some that self-awareness, that accountability, and we look in and we transcend what is perhaps our inherent learned behavior. Where have we developed some traits from trauma? Where have we gone wrong? Where have we gone right? Where have we been neutral, let's say? So sometimes we do actively ignore the blind spots, and they're uncomfortable to look at, and we can feel a bit in a fog. And who is out there that finds it that it can be somewhat easier to express that? You can see it in someone like a friend, a neighbor, someone at your church. You could notice, right, that, oh, feels like they're avoiding, feels like they're not in the conscious sphere of what they're actively doing. But sometimes we can see it easily in others, but we can fail to see it in ourselves because we are ourself. And sometimes the illusion and those rose-colored lenses and the fog, we have our own blind spots that just intensify, even if we're seeing it outpictured in someone that's nearby or a beloved person or a colleague, or wow, I really want to help my friend, or I want to help my fellow colleague with perhaps they have, a situation going on. And but then we fail to look within again. And so this is also a really healthy time to look at and focus on discernment. So when we go through these collective shifts and rebirths, as we should throughout life, where we're in a perpetual state of evolution and evolving, and through God's kingdom, we're presented with the school of life. And so if we don't go through shifts, if we don't go through evolutions, if we don't go through transformation, then we're stagnant and then we are feeling a lull, right? And so when you look into more of that focus on that discernment, it's a really excellent time to revisit, refine oneself in projects, your simple dreams, your big dreams, your middle dreams, and look at things that you've started already that maybe you took a time out because life happened, life got in the way, let's say. Some people say life is happening to them. Some say life is happening for them. What is life bringing you? What are you bringing to life? So, however we look at it, it's essentially the same in that composite. It's about our soul's direction, under God, our soul's direction in this universe that He created and the expansiveness of all His creation. And so, where we are in this world and we are part of that world, and when we find ourselves perhaps seeking an invitation or even awake to the invitation or receptive to that, we can see what our soul's path, our soul's direction, where it wants to take us, and what's aligned with our true purpose. And this also is in tandem with value, right? So, with value, our aspirations, our purpose, and if we're living a purpose-driven life in whatever is valuable to you, you're contributing to the world, to the society, to animals, to the creature kingdom, to your fellow members of society, your friends, your family. I mean, there's so much to look at. Where do you provide value? And some people don't know how to recognize their value. Some people really dilute their value. And then it feels empty. And so this is a really good time to notice and to expand, even looking in at your value. And so during this particular shift, I'll explain more of what Neptune retrograde is and how long it'll be. But these shifts and these alignments can apply and be more intensified, of course, when they are in that alignment. But however, each day, every day of our life, these are really good working principles to review and reflect, to apply to the self at any point in time, because sometimes we might feel we need a little bit more of a push. Sometimes we might feel more where there's the stagnation, but you want to get out of the stagnation, or there's the height of the journey, or there's the plateau of the journey. So always be kind to yourself, always be loving to yourself, always treat yourself with that virtue and respect. And when you find yourself in a place of self-defeating, if you find yourself in a false narrative, if you're catastrophizing, if you're stuck in a negative loop, let's say, if you're feeling like, oh, well, what's the point of doing that? It's long gone. Well, perhaps this is a good time to revisit, to look at. We're also in Mercury retrograde at the same time. And just in case Mercury retrograde, it is the planet of communication and also the messenger planet. So when we have that in tandem with Neptune, Neptune is literally it's a transpersonal planet, and it's connected to our evolution, our spiritual evolution of the overall collective and the cosmos. So if we think of, God's logos, and we think of in the universal direction of all that is of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the spirit, and we're all kindred spirits here in the school of life, and we're going about our father's business. Well, this is when we go into that deep generational cycle. And with Neptune, there is a generational cycle that is marked. And there are concerns that are truly at times beyond our own personal, and again, in the separative ego. So if we go into false negative separative ego, and then we go into the higher Christ consciousness, healthy ego, we can discern through what truly is ruling us. Are we allowing ourselves to be ruled by negative infractions or the pain of the past or deferred dreams, deferred plans, things that have been waiting? And maybe we've been waiting for it to happen. Maybe we've been waiting for something to break through. And are we able to break through ourselves? Are we able to transcend it through our positive subconscious, the power of our subconscious mind, power of our prayer, the power of our manifestation with prayer? And so the faith of a mustard seed can move any mountain, right? And so we go into the true nature of that reality, and we look at what is essentially true, what is true, what is untrue. So when we look at what's true in an absolute universal sense of it, in the absolute Christ consciousness sense of it, we can look at the teachings of this. And with Neptune, the planet is ascribed as more masculine. So in the teaching aspect of the human experience, it's not like the father planet, like Saturn. But it has this ability to teach us to surrender to something that is essentially greater than us, and to transcend the limitations of our human experience in a very profound way. And so when we look at the way that when we follow the path of God and we follow the path of Christ, we follow the path of the universal cosmos, we're looking at, wow, what essentially is my human experience consisting of at this moment? What do I want my human experience to posit while I'm here in the living flesh in the body? What type of legacy would I like to leave behind? Do I want to leave behind a garden? Do I want to leave behind a chronology of, teachings, of findings? Whatever it may be, do I want to build something? Do I want to build something for others? Do I want to build something for my family? Do I want to build a legacy of any type? And when I'm speaking of this, I'm not speaking of, oh, let's have a building dedicated to one if you donate $1 billion. I'm not referring to that. I mean, that'd be great, but to each his own. But I'm speaking about the contributions. Did you say something impactful that that person will remember for the next 80 years of their life, let's say, right? Did you do an action? Did you implement an action that was just so remarkably touching and meaningful? And that's a contribution of the human experience. So those are examples. So you don't need money for these things. And if you have money and you'd like to make, that's great too. But it's what you say, it's what you do. So think about the times that someone may have been cruel or unruly and unfavorable, right? And it's behooving at times to think about how we can think about those negatives more so than the positives. So you'll think about perhaps, let's just say, and this is actually true, I've heard like famous actresses or famous actors say, they will focus on that one negative comment. That one negative comment supersedes the billions, millions, whatever comments that are all of love, virtue, appreciation, right? That one negative comment just stuck out so much. So we think about it in the way that, like Shakespeare said, we're in our own stage. Life is a stage and we're merely players, right? And so if we're in the stage of life, if we're in the school of life, and we're in this perpetual motion, we're really looking forward to increasing our vast awareness of the universe, of ourselves, of our connection to God, our connection to nature, our connection to spirit, our connection to anything, right, in general. So, what do we find within ourselves? What's the one thing that we're like, ah, this is our Achilles heel? This is the one thing that I just can't transcend. Or this is one of many things I can't transcend. Or this is one of my negative false separative egos, one of many, let's say, those inferences that we can suffer, right? So if we go through that distortion and we go through perhaps an unconscious expression and Neptune helps us also to see through that avoidance of the truth. So we get into the truth and the untruth, the truth of what is real and the truth of essentially what we believe to be true, right? So our subconscious can believe it to be true. So we have a reticulating activating center in the brain, the RAC. So sometimes if we're exposed to and we're hearing over and over, oh, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, we can ascertain that yes, I am bad. I've heard that I'm so bad my whole life that I believe that I'm bad. So one can call that programming, conditioning, right? Which is essentially true. And it's the exposure to that negative word or a positive reinforcement, right? So if we go into, let's just go to the bad since we're talking about negative right now, a negative false narrative of the self and how powerful the subconscious truly is. And so when we believe and we create a make-believe account of, well, this is negative, this is true, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm a failure, I'll never sing or I'll never speak, the declaration of my dream, right, into existence. Well, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because the subconscious power is, in a way, a negative prayer. So be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you speak. Thoughts become things. Be careful what you pray for, right? And so if we're in that mode of I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, then where that imprint becomes I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, and therefore everything around you starts to externalize and outpicture, and therefore draw back in and magnetize everything that is consistent with I'm bad. If I'm bad, that means no one likes me. If I'm bad, that means no one trusts me. If I'm bad, that means that no one will want to play with me. You know, no one wants to go do anything fun with me, right? We go back into that proverbial child, the child within that essentially is true in the inner child. That's a whole other topic. However, when we go into I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, there's that statement that becomes your truth. So, what is true versus what is untrue? What is your truth, a falsehood of your truth, and that inherent learned behavior? And if you are bad and you are bad, then you feel sometimes, if you truly are bad, let's say that you've committed many transgressions and you know that you actually were bad, but you're remorseful, you're seeking forgiveness, but you want to change, you want to shift, you want to alchemize, you want to transcend what's bad about you and fix it. There's always hope for that. But if we go into the place of where it's untrue, and then the place where it is true, perhaps, but we're fixed on that, it's concreted in the brain, in the mind, in the heart, in the soul. So this is a perfect time for conscious reconditioning of I was bad, but I'm bad no more. Or I thought I was bad, but I actually learned that I'm good, right? And sometimes it's nature versus nurture. What have we been exposed to? What has been created for us? What has been the working environment around us? And if we look at also the distortion of that unconscious expression, and we get lost in that illusion, and there's a spiritual bypassing that occurs, then we essentially find ourselves perhaps stuck in that imprint, in that negative cycle. And so, this is a really opportune time to look within the truth of the self. What's really so bad about you? What's really so great about you? What's really so wonderful about you? What's really so harmonious about you? What is it that you'd like to improve about yourself? What is it that you'd like to work on, right? And so, in the activation mode of the subconscious, where we can truly create the negative, but we can also create the positive. So, that superpower in the subconscious mind that believes that reality is the reality that we live in, and it can become your own inner matrix. And sometimes that there's that line of delineation and the line of causation, and then you can't tell which one is which, so the lines get blurred. So it's a good time to just write down a simple notation to the self. Whatever it is that your truth is that you think your truth is. And if it's a negative truth or something you're working on, that, oh, I'm not productive enough, but you are productive, but you think you're not productive, let's say, I'm not productive, I'm not productive, I'm not productive, then you're going to stay stuck. And you look at that, oh, I'm not productive because I'm in procrastination. Why am I in procrastination? Because I'm in a fear of execution by proxy of perfection, let's say. That's just one little example. I'm a perfectionist. Is that bad or is that good? Perfectionist can be applicable at times depending on what's congruent with it, what's aligned with that execution of that. So you see, there's so many inferences and pieces to take apart, examine, and look within, and this is precisely a perfect time. So we're in this Neptune retrograde. It began July 7th and it ends in the middle of December, I believe. And so it's this realigning. This is a very supportive time, let's say, that if you want to look at that and really go within and look to God even more than usual, look to the universe, the cosmos, more than usual, all of it, all your angels, your guardian angels, whatever it is that you know, that you feel comfortable calling in for yourself that's positive and of light. We look in that true nature of your reality and to start to believe what is in fact true for the self, and then retrain the mind, recondition the mind with conscious reconditioning. 90 days, technically 21 days. You know, they say 2 weeks to form a habit, but 21 days to begin to undo a negative habit, 90 days to concrete it more. So if you look at the structure of let's say, what's a good example here? AA, for example, right? Chuxi wrote a beautiful book called A New Pair of Glasses, right? And I think that's a beautiful book for anyone to read, especially if you are suffering from, chronic addiction, compulsion to alcohol, or if you know of a loved one, right? And in separate from that, even if it's not alcohol or an addiction, but if you look at the pretense of anything that is such a difficult journey, a difficult compulsion, let's say, an imprint, a cycle, a certain programming that, and separate from neurochemistry, separate from, the biochemical rhythms and the anatomy and the brain and the heart and those proclivities that cause that sort of the inclination towards those types of addictions, let's say, right? But if we look at the pretense as to what is the formula, if we look at looking at a power that is beyond ourself, looking at God, right? A power that is higher, a higher power, right? Some people, don't want to speak, in those ways that I am, but this is an open show. So it's respective to everyone's belief systems, but so a higher power, right? I need to seek a higher power that is of and above myself and to recognize that I need help, right? Or recognize that we need help in something. So if we take these opportunities to really surrender to something greater than us, right? That is when you can, yes, you can, yes, you can, yes, you can, yes, you can. You speak to yourself and that you surrender to that higher power. You surrender to God. You surrender to Jesus Christ. You surrender to your angels. You surrender to whatever it is that is of positive form for yourself that works for you. And that's what can help you with that conscious reconditioning phase of that exponential collective for the reality of yourself, whatever is individual to you, to what your personal goals are. And so, what truth you want to create, what you want to contribute to this world. And in the positivity of it, if you go and you break down the illusion, and in 21 days, if you start to say, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, let's say, as opposed to I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad. You're starting to dissolve that negative false separative ego, whether it's true or untrue, right? But you're starting to say, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. And when your psyche starts to believe that you are good and your subconscious starts to believe that, yes, he and she is good, we are good. And then we get into 90 days of it. We actually start to see what we broadcast into society to our colleagues, our friends, our family, our love, our neighbors. We can see the shift, and people start to come up to us and start to say, wow, you're a really good person. And perhaps you've never heard that you're a really good person from anyone in 55 years of your life, let's say. But when you start this practice, and this is, the higher power surrender of the subconscious, that's of the negative false separative ego, into a more of the higher mind, right thought, action mind. Mentality, energy, and that starts to permeate into everything and everyone around you. And so the prayer of may God prosper you and everything and everyone around you, that's not just limited to material wealth, material gain, but it's in the prospering of our energetic value, our contribution value to the world, to people, to society, to the nature kingdom, but our prospering in how we live our life, how we go about our father's business, how we go about karmically, how we go about energetically. Are we raising the vibration around us because we have raised it from within, no matter what trauma we've transcended, no matter what abuse, no matter what transgressions we've experienced, or the transgressions from us to others, let's say, right? So there's a time to turn the tide. And if we start to believe that, yes, I am good, or yes, I am impactful, or yes, I am successful, and you truly start to believe it, just like how you believe that you were bad. You were bad, you were bad, you were bad. Well, now you're believing you're good, you're good, you're good. And some random stranger in the random universe starts to speak to you and say, wow, what a great person you are. You're a really good person. And then it starts to have a trifecta effect where it just goes in tandem, where it's exponential and just keeps growing and increasing. And the next thing you know, you're in the self-motivation of, wow, it feels a healthy, qualitative addiction, not in a self-serving manner, but more in that spark of life, that spark of unity, perhaps that spark of purposefulness, that spark of that contribution of positing that where someone will never forget that, wow, one day someone just walked over and brought me a coffee and gave me flowers just because, or they ordered me and had the waitress deliver it just because. People don't forget those positive acts, right? Just like I commonly refer to something so simple as here's an apple, right? Here is a barrel of fruit, or here is a basket of bananas, whatever it might be, in that metaphorical state where it's the contribution of the thoughtfulness, and then it starts to become a healthy mind patterning of positive reinforcement. Like, wow, felt really good to give a surprise, pay it forward, coffee and flowers from that person to that person. I actually feel addicted, quote unquote, to putting a smile on someone's face, even if it's anonymously, right? And that perpetuates that feel good feeling that raises your oxytocin, your dopamine, your serotonin. And then all the floodgates of the feel good chemicals start to enliven within the self and then enrich the self. And then what happens to your, the magnitude of your auric field? What happens to your high vibration? What happens to the frequency of how you are caring about yourself and the world? So, if we think about, let's say, cats, for instance, right? The hurts of a cat's purr. It's not untrue that a lot of cardiologists, and I know people are allergic and people have different lifestyles and they can't always have a pet, but I'm just speaking here. So, if the cardiologist says, oh, it seems that you're stressed or your heart is having some concerns, get a cat. Very common. Cats have a remarkable, the hurts within their musical box. That has been a mystery since before pre-ancient Egyptian civilizations, right? So it is still the mystery. But if you think about how a cat can vibrate on that scalar field, right? And we can think about how animals can read our auras, little children in their formative years before they're taught that no, that doesn't exist, especially here in America, more so in the Eastern world, though. is more common to have those beliefs that, they can see angels, reincarnation, they can see auric fields before we're trained to not see it, or that, oh, it's imaginary or it's illusory. But let's just go there too. When you can see and you're able to see the auras, if you can't see the auras, but you can feel it, right? Just like quantum resonance, right? You can, the sense of being stared at. One can feel Unheimlich, where it's like this eerie feeling and it just feels uncomfortable. It's like, oh, I walked in the room and the air felt dense. Something negative felt present, right? Or you walk in a room and it's like, wow, it's crystalline energy. It's high vibration. It feels so robust and enlivening, like I really enjoy being here. And we can also look at the sensory, we can look at, but it's the energy. If let's just say that someone walks in a room and everyone's having a great party, a little soiree, they're enjoying everything, but then somebody walks in with very intensive, heavy energy, perhaps they've had a really traumatic experience. Perhaps they've had a really bad day. Perhaps they're going through depression. And it's unfortunate. But the sensitives in the room, the empaths in the room, of course, are going to feel it. And even the non-empath and the non-sensitives are going to feel, wow, there's a shift here, right? So that's what I'm referring to by when you raise your energy, then it starts to attract more so of what you really are wanting to seek to become. So especially during this transformative phase where we're, let's say, in this realm of reinventing ourselves, right? Or rebirthing ourselves. And not only in the rebirth of ourselves, but in a new direction, a new path. And not saying that we're saying goodbye to our old life per se, but we're taking from our old life what we've experienced, what we've been training for, what we've been suffering, what we've been experiencing, good and bad, and taking from it and implementing it to refine ourselves, to prosper ourselves and others, right? So when you speak about may God prosper you and everything and everyone around you, that's part of that high vibrational frequency energy. And then that magnetism starts, and the magnetic field of that high self-love, that high intrinsic value that you're really conscious of now, that you truly have worked so hard to achieve, where perhaps 5 years ago you may have thought, oh, I'm of no value, I'm bad, I can't connect, I can't do anything great, whatever it might be, that negative separative ego, subconscious, negative false shadow subconscious ruling into, wow, I can make a difference. I can put smiles on people's faces. I can say hello to people and make their day better, or I can, be a good friend, or I can, grow a garden, or whatever it might be, right? All the way up to saving a life. We're just saying random acts of kindness. But random act of kindness also to the self, because you deserve to receive those random acts of kindness for yourself. So the more that we essentially love ourselves and the more we're kind to ourselves, the more that we kind of come through that lens of distortion. And that lens can be formally distorted, but we have to clear that lens. So when we go into, and we're in spiritual bypassing, let's just get into that for a moment. Oftentimes, this all that I've been discussing is synonymous with spiritual bypassing, because when we're in our spirit and we're transiting in and we're allowing our visions, our prayer, our manifestation, and to allow that deeper range of magnetism to flow in, being open to receiving God's prayer. And sometimes some unanswered prayers are also answered prayers, because God has something much more aligned and emboldened for you in the future. So, right now, though, while this Neptune is in retrograde and we're going through, all of this that I've just discussed, but there's essentially this, I would say, separate from our free will, because it is in the sign of Aries, which is a cardinal fire. So there's like that action, take action. Utilize your personal free will to go into serving something greater than ourself, right? Something in purpose. And that's also discussed in Chuck C's book, A New Pair of Glasses. But we have to at times require agency of ourselves, right? And that cultivation of that personal will, that free will, that God gave us the gift of free will. And so what God permits, and that what we allow ourselves to permit as well. So sometimes we're feeling aimless. We're feeling like, oh, what direction do I have? I have a million goals. I don't know where to start. But the time, if you're feeling kind of lost, you're floating in that ecosystem, perhaps it's a good time to kind of just go into this self reflection again. go into that inner spiritual exploration instead of the what is often very common for us to go into a spiritual bypassing and forget that we are in a spiritual world, we are in a divine world, and in the divinity that exists, there's so much that we have to essentially endure. And so if we go into, let's say, we go into, we have our own inner sphere of mind, right? We have our own inner sphere of our heart. And we have times of rejoice. We have times of contemplation, times of reflection. And so if we just think about, let's say, here's a nice little psalm, Psalm 118:24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's sit with that for a moment. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. How often do we look at how this is the day that the Lord has made? Let us sit and rejoice and be glad in it. Let's focus on those words. Rejoicing. Rejoice. Let's rejoice with ourselves. Let's rejoice in this journey. And whatever the trials, the tribulations, the transgressions, the trauma, the pain, but there's still a new tomorrow. That today is the beginning of the rest of your life. Tomorrow is the beginning of the rest of your life. And when we go into, let's say, that inner exploration, that spiritual inner exploration, we're no longer bypassing ourself or our conscious stream. That's a beautiful rejoice, rejoicing within, to be glad within it. Even if you're not religious, even if it still feels, there's a radiance to that, rejoicing and to be glad within it. And that's part of thoughts become things. When there's a vibration of words, let's say, your somatic body responds to that. And the somaticness is, it's like beholden in there, where we can hold on to you're bad, or oh, let me rejoice. Let me be glad instead of I'm bad, right? And I know that sounds easier than it is, but there's so much truth in that. And so, another piece of scripture I wanted to read in the Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, think about these things. I'll read that one more time for good measure. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, think about these things. So, if we sit with those beautiful words, we look into the way of how we see, how we feel, how we interpret, right? In that perception. So we go into that discovery. And we recognize that the burdens that we may carry are heavy, right? The burden of the cross and the crosses that we crawl up. And if we go to these burdens, and we're together, let's say in the collective, that we all have a burden. We all have our griefs. We all have our concerns. We all have our stress. We all have our anxiety. We all have our sadness, our loneliness, our excitement, our happiness. We all have all of these moments. And sometimes there's a cessation of our inner peace. And when we're faced with difficult decisions, the cessation of our inner peace really is amplified because it's activating in our nervous system, it's activating in our heart. And sometimes we just need to sit and pause. And where do we make room for what's lovely in our world? Where do we make room for symbolic meaning? So, this is essentially a really good time to slow down, to review your life. Perhaps to review those events that have occurred,
to review the positive events, the negative events, and also unfinished business, which is also part of Mercury retrograde, unfinished business. So if it's from years ago, weeks past, months, days, but we go into a deeper self-reflection and the deeper value, our intrinsic value. And how do we move forward with our new awareness of being more comfortable with our intrinsic value, right? So when we look at God's kingdom, God's creation, God's cosmos, God's universe, God's planets, God's alignments, it's all his creation. It's all the masterpiece of our existence, right? And so these planets represent our own cycles and emotional sphere, right? And so when we go through that and we experience it in such a way, we look at our own inner rhythms, how it's internalized, externalized, what's a plateaued stagnation, right? But we come to a place of understanding and more awareness of what is within ourself and the nature of the reality. So the higher energy becomes more internalized, and utilizing that higher energy for that inner exploration. No more spiritual bypassing, let's say, or no more, the emotional bypassing, that's one thing. But when we look at the revolutions that are within and how our Earth and the Sun and the Moon and all the planets, all the stars, we're all part of this beautiful, vast infiniteness, even if we're in this form for a certain amount of time, that we are eternal in our souls, we are eternal in our spirit, and in that divinity, that spark never ceases. It might change form, it will change form, but we can change form while we're here in the physical, in the material, in so many different ways. And so, again, in addition to part of this Neptune retrograde, one more thing I wanted to express is that look at the higher vision. What serves your higher vision? What serves your higher vision for your future? And look at the discernment between, if there's an escapism, unconscious escapism, or what's authentic to yourself. So when we look at the spiritual bypassing, we can go through, the unconscious escapism versus your true reality and what's linear versus nonlinear. But we look at the authenticness within the self, the transparency between the self. So the ego never dies, it just becomes more transparent, if you will, right? The ego might become more transparent in the higher will of that. So when we're essentially listening more to ourselves and we're in the guidance of ourself and we're in the guidance of others, or we're listening to the guidance of others for ourselves, or we're reciprocating and giving it back, sometimes what could be previously, like I was saying, we might not see it in ourself when we're seeing it in someone else, but then we recognize later, like, wow, it was previously clouded by that illusion, or that perhaps I was not consciously aware. And so if I should discuss more of this in the next show, in the future, but some good things that you can do during this time is to take really good care of your health, of course. Very just common sense, very rational. But what's ahead for the next few months with this Neptune retrograde, in addition to that? So you can essentially perhaps make a notebook, or perhaps make a list for yourself and look at, what dreams you're pursuing, who you want to be, what you want to become more of, what's worth fighting for, what's worth putting to rest, and so forth. And so look at what aligns deeply, with your highest path. And we also just had the lions, the lion's gates coming up, and we just had another portal on 7/7, lion's gates coming up. So we'll talk more about that later. But just allow yourself to explore your own inner world and allow yourself to live and breathe and sit with it and draw from it. And essentially, the kingdom of this earth belongs to all of us under God. God's kingdom, everything belongs to him, and thereby he shares it with us. And so, and again, before we close for today's show, I wanted to just mention one more time, and we're going to discuss this more at length, but the amazing BBS Radio, BBS TV, and their website, they've launched a GoFundMe, and it is imperative if you feel value and you want to contribute in your own way for the contribution in the reciprocal aspect that BBS Radio, BBS TV, BBS website has given to all of us, and the joy and the knowledge and the freedom of speech and everything that is part of BBS Radio, TV, and the, let's say, the their own inner constitution of the realm. Go to GoFundMe at www.gofundme.com/f/preserve-independent-voices-at-bbs-radio-tv. Once again, go to GoFundMe for BBS Radio TV, www.gofundme.com/f/preserve-independent-voices-at-bbs-radio-tv. So essentially, go to GoFundMe for BBS Radio TV, and anything helps. Any contribution helps, or to share it with others, and to post it on your social media, and forward it, and share the good news. Let the good news be permeated throughout the ethers. And so I wanted to thank you all for your presence today and sharing your precious time with me on a summer day. And I wish you all a very beautiful, auspicious 2 weeks upcoming, and may you be blessed. May God bless you all. And again, may God prosper you all and everything and everyone around you. And I'll see you again in 2 weeks' time. Thank you so much again. This has been your host, Ray Trujillo of the Beyond Earth Show. And have a wonderful weekend. Thanks again. Bye.